Well, as David says, finding proof that everything in our lives is not only connected, but also influences everything else. That is just truly amazing. We'll be back in a moment with David Wilcock and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, David Wilcock with us. We'll take your phone calls as well. David, when you write books like The Synchronicity Key, and I mean, it just flows from you. Does it take you long to do it, or does it come very quickly, naturally?
Well, to say that it flows would be inaccurate, in that it's not like a reading where I would do the same thing that Edgar Cayce was doing.
Yeah,
I had clients from 98 to 2005, about 500 altogether. And similar to Cayce, people would only, you know, give me their name and their email address and the day that we were going to do it. But then part of what would happen is on the morning of, I would have dreams that were very much about their life, and it was frequent for them to start crying. As far as my books go, there's a great deal of academic and scientific research that goes into them. And for the Synchronicity Key book, the research was really extensive, and I had begun compiling the research that made it into the second half of that book in 2009, and the book wasn't written until 2013. So there was a large curve to get all that academic information in there. But then, interestingly enough, part of what happened was that I had essentially had writer's block leading up to December 21st, 2012, because I was the big 2012 guy, and I was hoping to see something a lot more significant happen a lot faster. And that was my misinterpretation of what the Mayan calendar end date really was. Then when I realized that we're all still here, it's like, oh my God, the publisher wants a finished manuscript by April. And at the same time, I'm launching this new Gaiam TV show, and that was a lot of work.
And you're doing very well with that, by the way.
Well, thank you. And actually, it was very shortly after December 2012 that I came and I did your show on Gaiam.
That's right.
Beyond belief.
It still, by the way, remains the highest viewed show of anything we've done over 2 years.
I'll bet that chaps your ass, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I'm sorry, dude. But you stiffed me on that sandwich. You know, that's karma. It comes back around.
It comes back to bite you.
Anyway, my goal here is not in tooting my own horn, but to just try to promote a positive message. And there was a point I was building to in the previous round that I wanted to make sure I got to, because anybody who's read my latest article on my website, divinecosmos.com, which I wrote today to get ready for this show, I talked about the problems that we're having right now. And you mentioned a lot of them at the beginning of our show here, the economic problems and all these frightening things that are going on.
They don't stop, David.
It's unbelievable. Planes getting shot down, and there's border tensions.
Planes disappearing.
Yeah, and it seems like things are really unstable. And yet, despite all of what I admirably call fear porn happening, we haven't had martial law. We haven't had concentration camps. We haven't had the New World Order actually take over the way that all the paranoia would suggest they're trying to do. And I do believe they would like to do that. I think there are people who are sociopathic. I have a whole chapter in my book on sociopaths, but they're not being allowed to. So I just wanted to end that thought by saying that there does appear to be a universal blueprint for soul evolution that's written into a movie. And that's why when we see a movie like Avatar, and the good guy faces off against the nemesis and wins, we get this very, very deep feeling of soul resonance and payoff. So Hollywood is using that because it's actually our spiritual DNA. But what people don't realize is that this is actually playing out over much longer periods of time. And we know what part of the script we're in right now in the global sense. And we are in the global face down with the villain. We're identifying the villain better than ever. NSA spying is revealing they're tapping everybody's phone, not just people that are into conspiracy theory or people that live in caves in Afghanistan. They're tapping everybody's phone. And we're finding out that every part of the financial system is rigged. As I said in my article today, LIBOR is rigged, the gold markets, the silver markets, currency trading, you name it. There's a banking cartel, and a cartel, by definition, is something that colludes with government in order to secure lack of competition amongst seemingly competitive industries. They're actually not competing, and they're collaborating with government and media to put on a good face. It's just that this has happened on a global level, and now we're all waking up to it. And then the next question becomes, where does this all go, and how do we get there? And I believe the answer is a lot happier than we think, because it really doesn't seem like it could get much worse. One of the statistics I put in there just came out this week in my article today is that 35% of Americans are being hounded by bill collectors calling them up and saying, where's my money?
That's got to drive people nuts.
And it's 45% of people in the Texas cities. Almost one out of two people in Texas in the major cities is being hounded by a bill collector.
Jeez.
Every day. Every day. And then the people in Detroit, as you well know, over 10,000 people have had their water turned off. But then Detroit is not turning off the water for big businesses that actually owe much more money pound for pound than the people do. So there is a crisis brewing here, and it's building up to something. And this organized cartel that essentially is the Federal Reserve System and its offshoots, it's exposed. And there's massive protests against the Federal Reserve. And now what's happening is that Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, BRICS, as it's called, they've formed an alternative bank, a new development bank, or NDB.
That's right.
And what's going to happen is, this is my supposition, is that that bank right now is just sort of like opening a bank account, but you haven't made the deposit yet. You could open a bank account with $20. Right now, they've only sunk $200 billion into it, which isn't very much. But if this gold that originally belonged to the Asians and was stolen by the Federal Reserve through World War I and World War II, if that gold gets brought back online and it gets entered into the bank as, oh, well, let's make a deposit,
yeah,
then that bank becomes much bigger than the World Bank, much bigger than the IMF, and much bigger than the Federal Reserve.
Instantly.
And here's the deal. I've had access to insiders, and I'm sure some of the people that would be calling in would want to know about this, because this is one of my big things I've done. I've had access to insiders who have had meetings with people at the Pentagon. Please, please don't turn your back on the military. Please don't turn your back on the intelligence community. They are not all evil. In fact, most of them are not. They're trying to feed their family. They're trying to, you know, make good on the debts that they have. And they don't want these bankers to run the planet. And so there's good people in DARPA. There's good people in the CIA. There's good people in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. And they don't want to see this crap go on. And they have organized. And part of what they've needed to do is to work with other countries and form an international coalition. And that's what we're seeing. There's so much going on behind the scenes right now in the media and in the news that you're not hearing about, in which this banking cartel is deliberately trying to start wars all over the world and trying to get people scared, because it's only when they get a big war that they start winning again.
I wonder if they're behind, David, then we'll take some calls, this Ebola scare.
I haven't actually looked into that one per se, but anytime you start to see fear-inducing headlines, I would say yes. I've read about Ebola that simple sanitary practices like washing your hands eliminates a lot of the risk. I still don't think it's a good idea to do something that could introduce a pathogen into any country or any area. You know, so those people should be quarantined.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just bring them in.
They're probably going to die on the plane. They're in that bad
shape. Yeah, I mean, if you get flesh-eating bacteria, you're probably not going to make it. It's a nasty, nasty thing once it gets into you, but let's also not forget that simple sanitation can prevent most of that from happening. And also, I want to be clear in saying that the cabal, or the cartel, whatever you want to call them, they have tried over and over and over and over again to spread large-scale diseases and viruses. And there is a resiliency in the human population that prevents these viruses from going very far. And I do believe that, again, is divine intervention. They're simply not being allowed to take massive cuts in our population like they said they want to do in the Georgia Guidestones, where guiding principle number one is, oh, we want to get down to a sustainable population of 500 million people.
And they may do that.
I don't think they will. I think that there is a very strong counter-insurgency going on that involves really good people in the military. In fact, 65% majority of the American military is ready to take these guys down.
Let's
hope you're going to see it happen. I do believe that.
Let's go to Scott in Detroit to get things started here. Scott, go ahead.
Greetings, George and David. It's a pleasure.
Hi, Scott.
I find it kind of contiguous what you were just saying regarding counterinsurgency. And what I was kind of wanted to bring up is that, David, I know you speak very articulately about the Maharishi effect, if I say that right.
Absolutely.
About the power of mass meditations and their ability to reduce global terrorism, violence, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
And I guess my question was that I kind of based on your reputation and clout as a public figure, have you ever considered trying to spearhead a organizational effort toward advancing that idea?
The short and sweet answer is absolutely yes. I'm starting a second show on Gaiam TV. It's going to come out probably sometime in August, but maybe not till September. Depends on how the editing goes. Called Whistleblower. And the second whistleblower who I interviewed, and we already have it in the can, is this guy Sperry Andrews, who has something called the Human Connection Institute. And he's one of the only other people out there besides Lynn McTaggart who's been actively going into this. And I am not at liberty to say who, but I will say that some very, very big names have gotten involved in this, and they want to put their face and their support behind a widespread initiative to use this technology. And so, in brief, for those who don't know, the technology is this. 7,000 people get together, and they meditate. And they're seeking a state that's called pure consciousness, which simply means blissed out, no distraction of egoic thoughts, and you're totally in harmony with the universe. When you get a group of people doing that, there's been 39 scientifically rigorous studies showing that there is a huge effect on the level of harmony, peace, and cooperation on Earth. And the 7,000 people actually had a remarkable effect of decreasing terrorism statistically by 72%, and all other variables, including weekends, including bad weather, holidays, any type of unusual political or strange things that happened in the news, none of that stuff could explain it. It was only the result of these people meditating. So yes, we are very actively working on trying to get that out to the mainstream. And remember also that the cabal very much knows that this technology exists. John Hagelin has been trying to get it into the White House for years. It would cost less than one B-2 bomber to finance a rolling group of meditators to be doing this 24/7, 365 days a year, but you don't see it getting financed.
7,000 meditators stronger than one?
Well, in terms of trying to create a current that will send the ship in a different direction, if you got wind in your sails that's going in one direction, you got to get enough people blowing in the other direction
to move it,
to turn it around. So you have to remember that we're part of a collective consciousness, and so although it doesn't take a huge number of us, there is strength in numbers, and the more people do this, the faster it changes.
We go next to Tanya in Wall Creek, California. Tanya, you're on with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hi, George and David. How are you?
Fine.
I'm good, Tanya. Thank you. Wall Creek sounds like a beautiful place.
Walnut Creek. Yes, it is. George, first of all, I wanted to thank you for what you do. Whether you know it or not, you are helping the planet with your program by keeping us informed and enlightened.
Thank you.
David, hello. I wanted to say that I met you at the Whole Living Expo. I gave you a copy of a reading that I did for you. I was the pleasantly plump 60-year-old lady. I wanted to say hello to the female energy on the planet. Since that particular event in San Mateo, I don't know if you noticed, but it seems like things went into hyperdrive. And I want to say hello to the female energy and attention on the global space. That female energy is rounding back in now and is going to be assisting big time in the healing of the planet. So I wanted to know if you have some awareness of this and how you see it folding into the work that you do that you help us so wonderfully with.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tanya. And yes, there is a sort of archetypal change that's happening in the planet right now, in which we've essentially suffered under patriarchal rule for at least since the Roman Empire, if not well before then, probably all the way back to Sumeria and Babylon. And that means that the male mentality is just simply seen as the de facto standard by which all things are judged. And that includes the way that we work in government, the way that we work in military, the way that we work in the judicial system, in the education system, in the police system. The idea of diplomacy and trying to come to an agreement without violence is where people want to go. I just read something on the internet yesterday about how kids 25 and under, they're becoming increasingly less violent, they're having increasingly fewer crimes, and they're just getting to be better and better people, but the media is not making you think that way. So essentially, this is an archetypal struggle between the masculine and the feminine, in which the feminine has been suppressed for a very long time. And our biblical founding fathers who wrote the Bible, and some of the Gnostic Christians back then, encoded this into the Bible in symbolism, where the number 666 actually represents the universal masculine principle, and the number 1080 represents the feminine. And there's all sorts of interesting number games you can play with the number 1080 regarding the moon, like it is actually the radius of the moon in miles, for example. And so the fusion of those two numbers is where we're heading now, and that adds up to 1746. And it does appear that the founding fathers of America were well aware of this, and they had hoped to do the American Revolution in 1746, but they couldn't quite pull it off fast enough, so they bumped it ahead to 1776. But it would have been even more magically powerful for them if they could have actually started America in 1746, because the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, is all a blueprint for the downfall of the patriarchy through the rise of freedom, in which we no longer are ruled by kings and bloodlines and dictatorships, but where everybody does have a voice, and we have a democracy and a republic to form a democratic republic in which every voice is heard and every need is met.
Do you hear from Jordan Maxwell anymore? He's kind of fallen off the earth.
Last time I spoke to Jordan was actually when he was interviewed for Project Camelot in my house, and he left a sweaty old shirt behind that I still have in my closet.
When was that?
I had to quarantine that shirt in three plastic bags and tie it off.
I'm joking.
Now, Jordan's amazing. I mean, what Jordan has revealed is vast in scope, and I'd say one of the most compelling things he's done is to show that money has an occult magic in it, where everybody gets these stock numbers, and there's apparently 10 of them that you're assigned when you're born, and those numbers are on the money, and therefore every dollar represents part of a person's soul. So when they steal your money, they're stealing your soul energy, or so they think.
We're going to come back and take final phone calls with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM. David, tell me about the key on the cover of the Synchronicity Key. Was it anything special about that key, or was it just because of the name of the title?
Well, the key is a very interesting part of the galactic story, if you will, that's being told. And the key represents a part of the story that's called the talisman. The talisman shows up in many different forms depending on what myth you're looking at. And since George Lucas wrote Star Wars based on the hero's journey blueprint, the talisman in Star Wars is actually the lightsaber. And the lightsaber essentially is the sword of the hero that shows up in many of these myths. So the talisman is something that is given to the hero by the mentor, and the mentor actually represents part of the greater cosmic mind, sort of a superhuman force, if you will, that inspires us and gives us the strength that we need to go on our quest. So there's a very powerful archetypal message by showing the key, because essentially what it does is it indicates that the book itself is the talisman. The book also is read, and Jung's original book on synchronicity was read, and also archetypally The Matrix is based on the hero's journey, the movie, and the red pill is the pill that you take to go and learn the truth. So the red book and the key, this is all sort of deliberate, and also the red is the blood of Christ, in a sense, and Christ being the hero figure, and if you look at the key, there's lines coming up off of it, and it actually does sort of symbolically represent the crucified Christ figure as well. So all those metaphors were rolled into it, and interestingly enough, a lot of this I didn't plan on, and it just sort of
just
became
happened.
Apparent by synchronicity.
Good
like, oh, okay, I see what this is now.
All right, back to the calls. Amy in Minneapolis, get us started here. Amy, go ahead.
Yes. Hello, George and David. I'm wondering what David's take is on simultaneous time. You know, are we in it or are we going into it? And how would that tie in with reincarnation and history?
That's a really cool question, Amy, and a question I love to answer. The way to look at time is very different than we thought. And we're looking at time now as essentially not something that progresses from beginning to middle to ending, but something that simply exists. And yet within that existence, there is a script, and we cycle through the same script, and we keep working on it until we perfect it. So when we're looking at these ages of the zodiac, I believe in time we will discover, that's a bad joke, I guess, but we will discover that history is, in fact, playing the same tune, but we keep getting better at it as we go. And importantly, we're now at that point in the script where there is going to be a triumph against the nemesis. And I really don't think anybody is expecting what's going to happen next, because all the things we talk about on Coast, and we, I say, because I'm friends with a lot of people that are on this show, and I'm friends with you, George, despite the fact that you stiffed me on that sandwich.
Wasn't that Dan Heiser who did that?
Actually, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mention it, it was.
He stiffed you and me.
So here we are, all working towards the same goal, which I would say is for people to know the truth. But the truth hurts. It's like stretching the birth canal before the baby can be born. And in another analogy, very different, it's like if you throw up, you'll feel better. There's a lot of things we need to know to understand that, yes, there actually is a satanic cult that is the most powerful people on earth right now. They reigned pretty much without interruption for 100 years and ruled the financial system. They created fake wars where they owned both sides and killed, as Hugh was saying, or Howard, I guess his name was, millions and millions of people, 200,000 a day in some cases, were dying. These people need to be stopped, and they are going to be stopped because we're waking up, and we're not going to keep repeating the mistakes of yesteryear. We're going to learn from our mistakes, and we are, and we're saying enough is enough. We don't want to have to enact violence against each other to try to get diplomacy. We can have diplomacy before violence, and we don't need to use money as a tool to decide who lives and who dies and who eats and who starves. Those days are over. We're moving into a post-money society. Look at what's happening with media. Look at the fact that everything is becoming free, everything's online. That's part of a trend, and I believe it's a trend in which money as we know it will phase out within 20 to 25 years. It's just not going to be relevant anymore. If 3D printing turns into materializers where we can make the goods that we need out of thin air, and at that point, money quickly becomes irrelevant. And that's part of the extraterrestrial technology that's waiting for us. Once we defeat the cabal, we get disclosure. We're going to get anti-gravity, free energy, teleportation, all kinds of wonderful healing technologies that will render pharmaceuticals completely irrelevant. And all that stuff is much, much closer than most people could ever believe. I had a dream recently where people had these little NASA patches that had the space shuttle on it,
mm-hmm.
and then next to it was a UFO, and in the bottom right in red letters it said David Wilcock was right.
He is. Let's go east. Nick is in Iowa. Welcome to the program, Nick. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a great honor.
Likewise, sir.
In the cases of the people that are turning into light or disappearing, what is the significance of that, and how does that, what effect does that have on us?
Well, these are awesome questions, George. I'm impressed. Oh,
this audience is amazing, David. You
got a great audience.
Yep,
it's really great. So, thank you, Nick. Here's the significance. There are once we get disclosure, it's very different than most people think. I just did 5 hours of episodes for Ancient Aliens today. We did a taping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically in every episode since last October now. They're getting me in as a regular, and they really want to have me in every show because I have so much to add. The show is basically saying that every single ancient culture we look at has humans showing up who are a lot more advanced than we are now. They have advanced technology. They have advanced spirituality. They have magic powers. And here's what I'm going to make as an assertion. I'm going to assert that the human being itself is a pattern that's written into the basic laws of space and time. It's the pattern of Christ, if you will. God made man in his own image. That's actually true, and it's happening all over the galaxy. And so humans are everywhere, and it always starts the same way. It starts on a planet with people like us who think that they're separate and that this is reality and that we live in a little sandbox and there's nobody outside the sandbox but us. And it's only once we awaken on a collective level and we invite the greater family that's out there to come in by having an open mind and not saying they're all demons or creatures or aliens, that we discover, my God, we're not alone. And not only are we not alone, but there's people everywhere. And this is just the beginning of what being human means. The next step is a quantum leap where you literally transfigure yourself. And the greater archetype of Jesus is that he's not the only one who's going to do this. He's just showing you what's possible. Most people who lived during his time would die a death as violent as the crucifixion. It wasn't only him that went through that. He was getting people in his time ready for what their life might be like when it ends, and encouraging them not to be afraid. And in the greater sense, his crucifixion represents what we all go through as we let go of the reservations that hold us back from the truth. So Jesus says, Father, let this cup pass from me, meaning he didn't want to go through with it. But then when he accepted this final sacrifice, if you will, he was able to attain that resurrection. And so similarly in our own lives, we're going through a global initiation. We're going through a global crucifixion right now. Everybody is suffering. Everybody is hurting. Everybody's scared. If in this high-pressure environment we can still be honorable and we can still be loving and we can still have faith and trust in the goodness of this universe, it's very spring-loaded. And the potential of what we can attain is much greater than most people would ever realize, because once you've ascended, you can levitate. You have telekinesis. You can read minds. You can actually change the way that your body looks if you want to. There's all sorts of really cool things you can do. As Jesus said, as I do these things, so shall you do them and greater things. And I do believe that's where this is heading. It's a standard evolutionary process that every planet with people on it goes through. And we're just at one of the most exciting parts of the whole story right now.
It's a great time to be alive, David, isn't it?
It sure is.
Let's go to Fred in Detroit, first-time caller. Fred, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Dave and George.
Hey, Freddie.
You know, 1914, they're comparing a lot of the craziness that went on in 1914 to what's going
happening
on
now
in the summer of 2014.
I would say that's a form of psychic driving or predictive programming, but go ahead, yes.
Yeah, and, we dodged World War III last autumn, and the powers that be seem to be baiting Putin to go into Crimea, but he's not taking the bait.
Nope.
And you mentioned, they want this war, and we don't seem to be getting it. And I'm wondering, could, we be coming to the time when, you know, you mentioned God, you know, could be intervening in world affairs, and we don't even know it.
Oh, it absolutely is happening. Yep.
Okay. Could this be, you know, the prayer we're all saying, thy kingdom come? Could God's kingdom bring about all this you're talking about?
Absolutely. Now, some people might take umbrage with the use of the word God. I don't have a problem with it. But I would say that as an overarching principle, there is an order and a balance to the way that the universe runs, and it is weighted heavily in favor of the positive, so that the negative is not allowed to supersede the positive. And it's interesting you bring up divine intervention, because in fact there are many, many examples of this. It began in August of 2011, where between August and the end of December of 2011, fully 26 underground bases out of about 250 that we know of were literally portaled out by some supernatural force, meaning that the contents of these bases completely vanished over the course of about 12 hours. And there's been many, many other events like that since then, because I get leaks from people who are in high levels of influence in the government. I've had many access points to that, and you would not believe the number of divine interventions that have happened that have stopped major warlike actions from occurring. And it's ongoing. So there's been lots and lots and lots of really, really dirty tricks that have been attempted, and they just don't ever work. So whenever something does happen, to me, it's a sign that the higher beings are allowing just enough to happen to wake us up collectively, while not allowing enough to happen that would genuinely destroy our planet.
Are these angelic interventions, David, or might they be ET related?
I kind of see angelic and extraterrestrial interchangeably. Mm-hmm. Some Christians would get upset by that, but you know, sometimes on Ancient Aliens they let us make that connection. More often than not, they just want us to say extraterrestrial.
Right.
But I kind of, if you look at the Bible and you look at the descriptions of angels, they're not people with wings. They're people that look like us. In fact, King Nebuchadnezzar took three angels and threw them in a furnace seven times hotter than it takes to burn human flesh, and they walked out 12 hours later totally unscathed. And they looked just like ordinary people, but it was after that that Nebuchadnezzar fell at their feet and worshipped them as angels.
They're the ones that predicted his dreams too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Let's go to Hank on the Big Island in Hawaii. Hello, Hank. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Aloha, George.
You
thank
too.
You. And aloha from 19.5 on the East Ripset on the Kilauea volcano.
All right.
A good place. And David, thank you very much for your message and the things you've been saying.
Thank you.
I feel like I and everybody, we all have to really start working it. You know, doing our best. There was a song in World War II, Don't Accentuate the Positive, Don't.
That's right.
Yeah, you remember that one. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
I wanted two things. Mark Twain said, he said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure rhymes. And I've liked that. The other thing I wanted to add something, a comment about synchronicity. I have what I call a synchronicity buddy, good friend of mine. And we lived here near each other in Hawaii for 5 years. He moved to North Carolina. And we talk almost every day, and it still works. And not necessarily big things, just little things, you know, like mentioned a box turtle. He hadn't seen one that day. He sees one in the road.
Right.
And it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems to me that synchronicity is a mental phenomenon. It's a phenomenon of the mind. If you don't notice it happening, was there a synchronicity?
That's true. You have to allow it to be what it is and not just brush it off.
David, you know, the point I think he's also making is that this synchronicity key, as you call it,
mm-hmm.
is just an amazing tool if one can tap into it.
I think synchronicity is really where all of the heady cosmic stuff that we talk about on this show, which sometimes is very fearful and other times is very inspirational, all comes back to the direct personal experience that you have with the universal I Am presence or the Christ or whatever you choose to call God or the Creator. I think synchronicity is that moment where the wall breaks down, the veil is torn open, and you go, my God, there is something going on here that is much bigger than what everybody else is usually thinking reality is. And the interesting part is it's considered a very high-level classified secret in the U.S. military and other militaries of the world, but particularly the U.S. They know through direct contact with extraterrestrials they've had in places like Area 51 that the laws of physics themselves cohere to the beliefs of the observer. And this goes way beyond quantum physics stuff about wave-particle duality, where if you look at a wave, you see it as a wave, and if you look at it as a particle, you see it as a particle. It literally means that when enough of us start believing that we can levitate, we will.
I like that. Time for one more quick call. Let's go to Dave in Fraser Park, California. Hey, David, go ahead. We'll squeeze you in here.
Okay, great. Thank you, David. I read the source field, and it made me reach enlightenment.
Thank you.
And I went to the center of the galaxy, and I came back, and you're spot on everything.
There's a lot of really cool ETs who live in the center of the galaxy. One of the people who worked for the secret government told me that it's like a whole parallel reality when you get towards the center of the galaxy. It's way more sophisticated than all the inhabited worlds outside of the center of the galaxy. So if you made it there, you got to the core of where it really gets interesting.
David, end times. You're a believer?
Well, I don't know what kind of soundbite you want to say for that.
my 30-second soundbite.
Yes, I'm a believer that we are in the end of days and that the end of time, as it was referred to, actually that word time can be reinterpreted as aeon, which means time cycles. And I think that the whole cycle of birth and death and reincarnation and joy and pain and having to go through each one over and over again changes where we grow up into a level of society where we get to have everlasting peace and everlasting joy, and we don't need conflict in order to spiritually evolve anymore, but we learn to get along with each other and treat each other with love and respect.
With all the time in the world, David.
That's correct.
Well, thanks again. David Wilcock up next. Lauren Coleman joins us. Cryptozoology on Coast to Coast AM.